Hello, sunshine. I'm Coy. This is CNN 10, and we are pumped for hashtag Your Word Wednesday. Follow me at Coy Wire on Instagram, Snapchat, and TikTok, and put your unique vocabulary word and definition in the comment section of my most recent post, and we will choose a winner to sneak into tomorrow's show. We start by heading to Azerbaijan, where there is quite a bit of unrest. The country sits between Iran and Russia, and it's home to a region called Nagorno-Karabakh, an Armenian breakaway region that sits inside of Azerbaijan. This region has been the cause of years of unrest and war, and it was in this region over the weekend that Azerbaijan launched a 24-hour assault, leading to more than 13,000 people fleeing west back into the country of Armenia. There is currently a ceasefire brokered by Russia, but only after an explosion at a gas station inside Nagorno-Karabakh, which injured at least 200 people. Our Becky Anderson has more about the region's current conflict.
A mass exodus raising fears for Armenia of ethnic cleansing by Azerbaijan, a charge Baku staunchly denies. So far, thousands of ethnic Armenians have fled the disputed territory of Nagorno-Karabakh into Armenia, a tragic journey they've become all too familiar with.
We had three wars, three times we left and came back, and now I don't know.
Last week, Azerbaijan forced the surrender of ethnic Armenian fighters in the breakaway disputed region, closing a major chapter in a conflict that has simmered for decades. But like every war, the horrors don't stop when the fighting abates. Although internationally recognized as part of Azerbaijan, Nagorno-Karabakh is home to about 120,000 ethnic Armenians, who make up the majority of the population. Over the last three decades, the two countries have fought intense wars over the enclave, with the larger, more powerful Azerbaijani military seizing increased territory. Russia, the traditional power broker, says it's been delivering aid to the region's capital, Stepanakert, and that its peacekeepers on the ground will help escort civilians fleeing to Armenia. But despite Moscow's presence, Nagorno-Karabakh has been under a blockade for 9 months. Azerbaijan-backed forces blockading the Lashin Corridor, the only road connecting Armenia to the region, preventing the import of food and aid, and separating families and loved ones. On Saturday, just days after the ceasefire was signed, the first convoy of humanitarian aid entered the region from the International Red Cross, its members also carrying out medical evacuations. But there are still fears aid isn't reaching those who need it most, with thousands here having been surviving with little to no food and fuel for close to a year.
10-second trivia. What's the longest river in the world? The Nile River, Amazon River, Yangtze River, or Mississippi River? There's no denying it. The Nile isn't just a river in Africa, it's also the longest in the world at 4,160 miles, flowing right into the Mediterranean Sea. This flows right into our next story. The mighty Mississippi River is looking more like the minuscule Mississippi. In the Crescent City of New Orleans, officials are saying that salt water from the Gulf of Mexico is threatening drinking water there and in the surrounding region of southern Louisiana. How did this water battle begin? Well, where river and ocean meet, the Mississippi is normally mighty enough to force the salt water to stay put out in the Gulf. But experts predict the Mississippi will reach historic lows over the next several weeks after this summer's lower than average rainfall in the Midwest and a blistering heat wave. Well, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers are coming to help. To battle the ocean water from creeping up the river, they're building a levee and they're barging in up to 36 million gallons of fresh water every day into area facilities to help supply people with drinking water. Now, it is officially fall here in the United States, but we can already get an idea of what winter might look like. Let's go now to our CNN meteorologist, Derek Van Dam.
You've probably heard about El Nino, a natural climate pattern that typically occurs every 2 to 7 years, bringing warmer than average sea surface temperatures to the Pacific Ocean, and consequently has a major influence on weather across the globe. So what should the U.S. expect this fall? Some forecasts indicate the possibility of abnormal dryness in the Northwest and Midwest and wetter than normal conditions in the Southeast. Historically, the wind shear produced by El Nino has meant fewer hurricanes for the Atlantic. Wind shear is the upper-level winds that tend to dissipate storm growth. However, warm oceans fuel tropical storms, and this season, ocean temperatures have hit record highs. Therefore, despite the Atlantic nearing the peak of hurricane season, hurricane activity is forecast to remain high until mid-October, ending in late November. During a typical El Nino winter, the U.S. experiences a cooler-than-average south and a warmer-than-average north. It also has the most influence over precipitation in the U.S. during the cool months, often resulting in wetter-than-average conditions across the southern tier, from the southwest to the southeast.
Next up, we have the incredible story of an artist from New York City who grew up on welfare and food stamps, but spent years fine-tuning his craft, and now, after becoming one of the most followed visual artists on social media, he's also getting his first solo exhibit in an art gallery. Meet Devin Rodriguez.
I grew up in New York, and I've been taking the subway since I was a child. You could see anything and everything on the subway. You could have a homeless person next to a millionaire, and you could have, you know, somebody with a fully tattooed face next to like a conservative guy, and to me that's beautiful. These are like the people that I love, these are the people that I grew up around, these are the people that run society, so this is what I wanted to present.
Excuse me, sir, I drew you.
That's amazing.
Nice to meet you, bro.
I was experimenting with so many different things. What I realized is that most people in society don't love art. It's just like it's probably like a niche thing. So I was thinking, how could I mix that with something that most people would enjoy and make it digestible for people? So I'm mixing the drawing, but for them, it's more about the humanity of it and making somebody feel seen. The shock value of it and the wholesome quality of it. People just love it. And they'll tell me like, man, I don't know what it is. I don't even care about art, but you, I'm obsessed with your work.
I've been a fan since I was 16 years old. No, I'm 24 now.
Maybe like 6 months ago, I became the most followed visual artist on the whole entire internet. Now they're going to come to the gallery tonight, and it might give them a different perspective. The whole show is called Underground, because I went around the world traveling the underground worlds. And the second meaning is I feel like I'm an underground artist because I never really had any work in any gallery or had a solo exhibition. A kid from the Bronx that was on welfare and food stamps in this, you know, gate-kept industry, I always felt like I didn't belong. I feel like I've been prepping for this moment since I was like 14, since I started painting. For this show, I really had to show people, you know, what I'm capable of, because people think that I'm just like this TikToker overnight success, but you know, I feel like I have more depth than that. I really wanted to put all my effort in so that people could see and hopefully they like it.
Let's go from underground to under the sea for today's story, getting a 10 out of tentacles. Researchers spotted a rare Dumbo octopus during an expedition in the Pacific Ocean northwest of Hawaii. Often called the cutest octopus in the world, these are cephalopods, and those two elephant ear-like things, well, those are two fins protruding from their mantles. They're rarely seen because they live nearly 13,000 feet below the surface. This Dumbo octopus sort of looked like a friendly floating ghost as well, thanks to light shining from a remotely operated vehicle. How do you get an octopus to laugh? Tentacles. Don't forget to octoput your vocabulary word in the comment section at Koi Wire on social. Put the definition, teacher, and school name in there too, and we'll choose a winner to sneak into tomorrow's show. Our shout out today goes to Mrs. Ellerman's government class at Lakes Community High School in Lake Villa, Illinois. Rise up. Keep chasing those dreams. Remember, you have to see it before you can see it. I'm Coy Wire, and I'll see you tomorrow.